Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Sid Garza-Hillman, author of Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto and Programs Director at the Mendocino Center for Living Well at the Stanford Inn here on the Mendocino Coast. This is part of my weekly radio series where I'm interviewing a bunch of people, and this happens to be probably my last one in the series, which is really cool, and I'm excited because along the way I've sort of interviewed people in the health-ish realm, and now today we branched out and Tyson suggested, I think, outside the box, and I thought of my guest today, which who is Julie Oringer. Julie is the author of The Invisible Bridge, a novel on Knopf, and a short story collection, How to Breathe Underwater. Her stories have been published in the Yale Review, the Paris Review, Plowshares, Zoetrope All Story by the Washington Post magazine. And honestly, I was going to read the whole bio. If I listed the amount of awards that you got, it would be the whole interview. And so I guess my first question is, do you feel guilty for having won so much? Like, is there a point where you go, my God, I don't want to have anything else because it's just, I feel bad for everybody else? Does that come up for you?
Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me on the show. It's really great to get to talk to you about the book. Yeah, it's really funny. It's strange to have certain happenstances come up with awards and things like that, because they do seem so random. For example, when my husband and I were students at Iowa, everybody sort of applied for the same things. And so you were all sitting around the table together and somebody would sort of announce that they won the thing. And then, of course, because you were all applying, people ended up winning the same things. And so I felt really left out when I didn't win this contest called Writers at Work. This was about, 15 years ago when we kind of just started out. And when I finally won second prize in that contest, I think that was the most vindicated that I'd ever won, felt to win a prize, and it was all sort of downhill from there.
Wow, sort of downhill, interesting, except for I can see the list. But anywho, and I don't even like saying anywho, so that'll be the last time I say that. Okay, so here's where I wanted to go with this interview, and I do want to, part of it is to perhaps talk a little bit about your book, and I know that sounds kind of weird, but what, in my book, I include art as part of the picture of what it is to be healthy, and that the inclusion of art in our lives is totally natural to us, and that, well, at least that's the argument I make. And so I kind of wanted to bring this discussion to speak to that talking to an artist to see what part that plays in your life. And what I want to ask you first is, do you now that you're a full-time writer, and I do want you to answer, if you could, when you became the transition of when you became a full-time writer, but I wanted to distinguish between art as an occupation and art as a solely creative pursuit, and what was there a shift in the role art played in your life when you became a full-time writer for a living?
It's an interesting question, because I think it was really when I was in graduate school that I first had a professor, this was Frank Conroy, say to me and to my class, you should approach this as a job. You should be sure that you're spending at least 3 hours a day on your work and approach it as a discipline. I mean, it wasn't so much that he was suggesting that we be mercenary and practical about it. He was just saying, you practice this like you would practice a musical instrument that you're serious about, or anything that you really feel artistically committed to. And I think at first it was hard to make the transition to that daily commitment of time, because the way I'd worked before was just, whenever the mood struck me, I would sit down and sort of bang out a story, and that was that. But what Frank was trying to tell us, and what ended up really being the case, was that once we made that commitment to the art, and once we would know that for those 3 hours a day we would always be working, the creative impulse sort of knew when to arrive, in a way. And I think it really goes hand in hand with what you're saying about what comes naturally. I mean, he was saying, this is what comes naturally to you, this is why you're here. And so set aside time in your day for this to happen, and your life will work better and you'll feel better. And that's always been true. And the fact is that no writer is ever really a full-time writer or as much of a full-time writer as one wants to be, because there are always other demands, whether it's, you know, teaching or your family or other things that you just want to do. But knowing that you can set aside that time and being religious about setting aside that time makes it possible to just respect it and just arrive when to be there when the ideas are going to be present, you know?
And that actually was my fourth question, so you totally ruined the interview. But what I wanted to...
I sabotaged my whole plan.
It was. You totally sabotaged it.
Yes.
But I wanted to... But to so in terms of, you know, learning how to sort of create in that moment, but was there a shift? I guess what I'm trying to get to is, in the way that art enhances your life, does
mm-hmm.
the fact that you now do it as an occupation... Did that change the nature of the medium that you predominantly undertake, writing? And my follow-up to that would be, do you pursue other forms of art that satisfy the pure creativity that aren't attached to I've got a deadline or I've got a job or I've got pressure to publish another novel, you know, that kind of thing?
You know, it's so much more like I feel like there's a greater sense of freedom attached to it in a weird way, you know? I mean, even though if you're working a full-time job and you're trying to write on the side, you do, in a sense, feel like you're escaping to something that's just a pure delight to you. Making the transition to kind of doing this full-time just sort of felt like, you know, I mean, it felt almost as if I were a runner and somebody said, you know, the road is, you know, an infinite number of miles long and you have unlimited access to it. You know, I mean, it's only just sort of a transition to greater joy in a way. And that is a complicated kind of joy because it's one that comes with all of the sort of necessary struggles of any creative pursuit, you know? And so in parentheses, or, you know, if joy is asterisked, in small print at the bottom of the page, it also says, you know, and tearing your hair out at 2 a.m. and throwing
right.
your pages in the fire
right.
and, you know, starting over after you've been working on something for 2 years. But, you know, I mean, I think that if there's a certain amount of failure that has to come along with the creation of work that eventually succeeds, if you're doing it all the time, at least you get to fail faster.
Right.
I think that's that part out of the way.
And then is there, so the follow-up, is there art, do you, so in my book, I sort of, you know, in a way to get people to introduce art in a non-judgmental way, you know, nothing normative attached to it, you know, no failure, no success, but just to create, are there things that you do just to create that you just do or something artistic that you do that is just kind of gets the blood flowing? And then how does that or does that influence or inspire your writing? In other words, if you have to sit down and write and you're like, the last thing I want to do today is work on this novel, I think I'm going to paint a picture because that'll sort of get the juices flowing. Does that ever happen for you?
Not so much. I mean, the thing that I like to do if I'm frustrated with what I'm working on, is just actually step away from the desk and go out for a walk.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if I can just be outside and if I can just be in the sun or in the wind or the rain or whatever happens to be going on, just in a way that kind of that takes my body away from the act of sitting down to write, somehow that's freeing mentally, and somehow that can help with the kind of creative problem solving that has to go on. But I think that in most writers' lives, especially those who have kids, so much of the time that you have in your day is spent not doing the thing that you most wanted to be doing, that by the time you actually do get to sit down and work, there's kind of this head of steam that's built up for the work. And so there's relatively little time that's spent sort of having to rev up, you know? And I think also maybe being the parent of a toddler kind of forces you to engage in a lot of creative acts ordinarily. I mean, you know, this morning after breakfast, my son and I watercolored for about an hour and a half. and we always do something like that in the course of our day just because he loves to, you know.
Right.
And so maybe that sort of energizes some kind of creative pathway, you know. And I feel like the act of parenthood is so, well, by its nature, it's generative, but you're helping a person to sort of create himself every day. And so I feel like that as much as it also takes time and exhausts you, it does somehow enhance your creativity too.
And that it enhances your own work.
Yeah, I think so.
And so that perfectly leads into my next question, which was, your husband is Ryan Hardy, who's also a writer, and just for sake of disclosure, now published Bring Me Your Saddest Arizona, which is a phenomenal short story collection. And now you have a son. And so I did want to get into the family thing and how now, obviously, when it was just you and Ryan, you know, both writers, and you can kind of carve your day and sort of do it, now you have a child. And my original question, which I think you addressed earlier, which is, how have you learned to create during a fixed time, you know, and not just when you're moved to write? But I guess what I do want to get to is, has family life made it is it more trying to get the work done? Did you feel initially when you had a child like, wow, I don't want to work right now. I really want to, you know, how has that changed the dynamic of you as Julie as a writer?
Yeah, well, it was really... it was interesting because it all sort of seemed to happen on its own in a way that when Jacob was first born and then the first few months of his life, the only thing I really wanted to do was hang out with him. And the irony of that was that my book came out about a month before he was born. And so,
wow.
So I had a lot of kind of responsibilities that were connected to the publication of that book, you know, many of which my literary agent and editor kind of tried to push off, at least for a little while. But one of the most important things I think that happened at that time was that there couldn't have been a better way to become less stressed out about the fate of this book that I'd been working on for 7 years than to have just had a child. I mean, you know, because obviously to me at that time, whatever was going on with Jacob was just like infinitely more important than the fate of the book. And so I didn't really worry about things the way I would have if I hadn't also just been in the process of becoming a parent. And I think even before Ryan and I had Jacob, we helped put things into perspective for each other. I mean, it certainly helped that we were both writers. And so we you know, understood the kind of struggles of the process of it and of the long development of it. But, you know, nothing good or bad that happened happened out of context. It all happened within the context of our relationship and our marriage. And, you know, the idea was that anything good that happened to both of us, and anything bad that happened was less bad because we could share it, you know. And so I think that it's always been a really kind of centering force. And, you know, it's true that you do have to struggle more for the actual time to work. And part of what you struggle against is just how much fun it is to hang out with your kid, you know?
Right.
But it seems like there's a balance that we both managed to find. And it seems to both of us that, you know, spending time with the family kind of fuels our desire and our ability to work, and vice versa.
Okay. So I guess leading me into this, which is, now that you do have a son, my wife and I, you know, we're you know, I'm a musician and songwriter, and she's, you know, writes poetry, and we always joke that, you know, when our kids get older, the way that they'll rebel, you know, will be that my son will join the football team or something. You know, like that'll be the rebellion.
Right.
I'm going to become a scientist. You can't tell me what to do, you know, whatever. And so how will you and Ryan introduce art to your child when he is, you know, old enough to sort of start thinking about jobs and things like that? As artists, you know, how are you going to toe that line to say, absolutely, it's fine, or, whoa, it was such a struggle, or is it just going to be on equal footing with any other employment?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's going to be different about his experience from my own is that he will know about art as something that people can build a life from. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up in a medical family, and so everybody in my world were doctors. And so I understood how a person made a living as a doctor. I had no idea how a person made a living as an artist of any kind until I got to college and started, you know, meeting writers who were, you know, contemporary working writers and musicians and visual artists, too. And I think because our world is peopled with practicing artists in different media, he's just going to know about that as a possibility for life, you know. And so I feel like though part of knowing about it will also be knowing about some of the difficulties of it, in a way the pathways will be more open for him, even without our having to sort of say anything very consciously about it, you know.
Right.
I think that if it were something that he was interested in, we could certainly speak pretty frankly about the difficulties of it. But just because of the way our lives are set up, he'll be more likely just to be aware of it as a possibility, you know? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, which may explain why so many actors, children become actors. You know, it's like, oh, you just make a living as an actor. It just, that's what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Right. But then I think that one of the challenges of parenthood, and I mean, this is something that sort of seems to come out of what you're saying in your book, too, is just, in a way, finding the path of least resistance for your child, which is to say, who is your child? You know, mm-hmm. letting your child be the person who they spontaneously become, rather than sort of pushing them in a direction that doesn't feel natural, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with Jacob, interestingly, one of the things from the very earliest weeks of his life, he was always fascinated by music. And by the time he was a few months old, if we sang a note to him, he would vocalize that same pitch back to us. You know, mm-hmm. and so he's always just sort of had this, I don't know, this sort of like this pull towards music. And that's the thing that he loves the most. He's just always singing. And, you know, Ryan plays guitar and I play violin, but it's not like that was something that we really intended. It's just something that seems to sort of be like rising up out of him.
Right.
So you never know. I mean, I think one of the coolest things about being a parent is just how your kids amaze you and surprise you with things that don't seem to come directly from you, you know?
Right. And then just the way that you're going to just make it open, the field open to him, and art is part of that field, whereas maybe
exactly.
with some of the parents, it's like, well, you can do that, but really you should do something more practical for him. It'll be like, oh, that's just one of the options I have.
I think so, yeah.
Which is pretty cool. So your parents, so your dad is a physician, MD. Your mother was a physician, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your brother is a physician.
Yeah.
Your sister is a teacher.
She's now in children's publishing.
Okay, so I guess my question is, and you can, if you don't know the answer, just kind of give me like a best guess. From which family member, extended or immediate, do you think you inherited the lazy gene?
I think that probably came. You know, there are certain genetic mutations that just arise. You know, spontaneously. And I think I just got lazy on my own.
You think that started with you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It takes a lot of energy for that to happen, though.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I was just wondering if there was, like, one uncle, like, bad uncle, you know, like the uncle who borrows from all of your doctor family members, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, to me, the joke is that, yeah, I have an uncle who's the dark horse of the family. I have three uncles, all of whom are doctors. Well, two of whom are doctors. So my dad and two of his brothers are doctors. And then the fourth brother, my dad's oldest brother, is sort of the dark horse of the family because he's only a Spanish literature professor.
Right.
And so he's that other kind of doctor.
I think that came from him.
Yeah, right. And so he was always known to sort of be the, you know, he wasn't a real doctor. He was just a PhD.
Right. And you're just a writer.
Yeah, exactly. So. Never mind that he's preeminent in his field. You know, if you're not an MD, then, you know, you might as well just go home.
Well, yeah. I mean, of course. So we're going to finish up because I want to kind of get to for real quick question. What so just so people can sort of in the mode of art as part of health. Do you agree that introducing some level of creativity in your life speaks to the larger happiness and in somebody's life and actually to their health? And also,
is that
I want to get
into. That's a leading question.
That's a leading question, and because you could say no. And then I would be like, you're not right about that. No, but what
right.
part? I mean, honestly, like, what would you advise people who go, well, I'm not going to be a full-time writer, but do you think that it's worth in somebody's life as an adult even just to kind of do that? And what would you, how would you kind of craft that to get that to get that into somebody's life?
Yeah, I think the thing that art does for you that's so helpful is that it sort of it can allow a kind of mental energy that can sometimes be negative to be processed and understood in some way, you know? Mm-hmm. And whatever the medium is that you work with, I think it can be really helpful and cathartic. I mean, it's like a kind of, you know, to use an earthy metaphor, it's like a kind of mental digestion in a sense.
Got it.
It keeps things flowing through, you know? And so how to make it a routine part of your life, I mean, I think that the first thing is just figuring out what is it that really makes you happy, you know? Does it make you happy to sing in the shower? Does it make you happy to, you know, draw with pastels out on the back porch? Does it make you happy to write in a journal every night? I mean, what is it that sort of feels like the most, you know, the most spontaneously arising mode of expression, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I think it's kind of being just setting aside some time for it, you know, just saying, look, I'm going to take a continuing studies class in writing so I have some deadlines to produce some stories, or,
awesome.
You know, I'm going to sign up for the pottery class, or I'm just going to say, you know, between, 7:30 and 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, I'm mm-hmm. going to just take this half an hour to, you know, to put pen to paper or whatever it is, that just, even if it's a tiny part of your day that's set aside for that pursuit, to know that that's going to be there. I think that that's really the important thing. And I think that can sort of help that creative circuit to remain open in a way that's really going to be beneficial to health.
Awesome. That's perfect. You passed. So finishing up, how people can find about you at julieorringer.com. Is that the best place to go, do you think?
I think that's a great place to go.
Okay, and then what's next on the plate? I hear you're working on a new novel. Can you just kind of tell us when, how that's coming and where you're at on it?
Sure. That novel has been in the works for a few years. It's a book that's about a real person, but it's a fictional account of his experience. He was a man named Varian Fry. He was a New York journalist who went to Marseille in 1940 to try to save about 200 writers and artists who'd been blacklisted by the Gestapo. And he'd never done anything like that before, and he had a very limited amount of money to work with, but he ended up saving actually about 2,000 people and staying for a little over a year to do that work. And I just found his experiences so fascinating as I was reading about him while I was researching the other book, that it just seemed like he wanted to be his own novel. And so that's what I'm working on now. And it's due in about a year and a half.
Okay.
And so we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Oh, my gosh. And so you're right in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right. Well, congratulations on everything so far and for things to come. And I really, really appreciate you taking the time to discuss art and your experience of it, because it's definitely fascinating coming from somebody who has made their life part of, you know, such a huge part of it. So I really appreciate you taking the time, Julie.
Thanks so much for having me, and congratulations to you, too. I'm just so glad that your book is out there in the world and is helping people live healthier lives.
Thank you so much. So this is Julie Orringer, and you can find her at julieorringer.com, also through Knopf Publishing. They have all sorts of stuff on that, but Google her and you'll see about 15 million hits. And my name is Sid Garza-Hillman. I'm the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto out now on Roundtree Press. and the Programs Director at the Mendocino Center for Living Well at the Stanford Inn on the Mendocino Coast. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back soon in theory. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.